to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra Siam, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
Anthasiakuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustayo. All right. Hello, hello, listeners. I can't hear myself very well, so we're going to turn up. There we go. Hello. So this is Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. I'm so excited that you're all listening tonight. We are back finally with a live episode. Last time I mixed up my date, so we didn't get a live episode, but I hope you all enjoyed that nice little recorded number we did for Ender's Game. Which, fun fact, to this day, I still have not finished. And at this point, I'm convinced that I might never. but anyways, I am super excited for the book we're talking about today. But before I get to that, I'll actually do my full intro. So this is Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. I'm your host, Randy. And this is a book club that comes to you through the airwaves of CITR 101.9 FM. And this week... And you can always reach us at email at dogearedbookclubradio@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram at dogearedradiobookclub. So this week we are talking about the book Honey Girl by Morgan Rogers. Before we get to that, I want to introduce the first of my guests. I have two guests on the show, which is new for me, and I'm excited. But we have Icia here today. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Very happy to be here. Excited. It's my first book radio experience, which is fun. But yeah, I'm the music and volunteer manager here at the station, and I'm excited to talk about this book.
Awesome. Well, I am very, very happy to have you here today. We also have Bailey joining us later. So Bailey was on the episode for, oh my gosh, was it Anna? No, it wasn't Anna. Clara and the Sun. That's it. There we go. Which was a previous episode in the fall. But before we get to Honey Girl, I didn't prep like a written thing for this that I was going to read out, but I should have. But I just wanted to make note that after more research, after I'd chosen this book, Honey Girl, I did do more research, and it is a book that was published by, like, I think a subsidiary of HarperCollins. So I just want to bring attention to the workers that are on strike right now for HarperCollins US. So these are the people who work for HarperCollins in the publishing. So these are like book, I guess, like people that go out and find books to publish, like editors, stuff like that. So they're currently on strike for better wages and better, essentially better work, like working conditions from HarperCollins. So one of the things with that is they're asking people not to give reviews, which is the complete opposite of what we're doing, because we're going to spend this whole radio show doing a review. So I apologize. I just want to make it clear that I fully support this union, and everyone can go. I found a TikTok account, which I'll tag in the show notes for this, but I think it's just HarperCollins Union, or HarperCollins US Union, maybe. Go give them a follow. Look at some of their videos. They're really good at explaining what they're looking for. And just, you know, keep up to date and do better than me. And if you are a reviewer, try not to review HarperCollins books until they're off of their strike. But without further ado, we are going to talk about this book because I made two people read it. So I'm not going to let that go to waste. But yeah, so... I think we can just launch into our first segment, which, as longtime listeners know, is where we read the back of the book and then we decide if it's accurate or not.
Awesome.
All right. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. Super exciting. All right. So here we go. With her newly completed PhD in astronomy in hand, 28-year-old Grace Porter goes on a girls' trip to Vegas to celebrate. She's a straight-A, work-through-the-summer certified high achiever. She is not the kind of person who goes to Vegas and gets drunkenly married to a woman whose name she doesn't know. Until she does exactly that. This one moment of departure from her stern ex-military father's plan for her life has Grace wondering why she doesn't feel more fulfilled from completing her degree. Staggering under the weight of her parents' expectations, a struggling job market, and feelings of burnout, Grace flees from her home in Portland for a summer in New York with the wife she barely knows. In New York, she's able to ignore all the constant questions about her future plans and falls hard for a creative and beautiful wife, Yuki Yamamoto. But when reality comes crashing in, Grace must face what she's been running from all along, the fears that make us human, the family scars that need to heal, and the longing for connection, especially when navigating the messiness of adulthood. All right, so here we go. Do you think that's an accurate description for the book you read?
Okay, question. Is that a plot summary or the blurb?
So that's, I'm pretty sure that's what's on the back of the book. So I found this on Storygraph because I lent you my hardcover.
Yes. I have it, actually.
Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that is, like, the blurb.
Okay. I mean, it is extremely accurate.
But it's literally just a plot summary.
Yeah. I'm really happy I never turned this book around to read the back of it because that's the whole book.
Like, yeah.
I think it's too accurate. But, yeah, what you read is exactly what you get.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. It really is a plot summary. Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing with romance novels, though. But this is the thing. So when I read this book, like, basically right after it came out, I think, like, mm-hmm. very recently. And one of the people's, like, complaints when they were reviewing it was just that it didn't, they didn't feel like it was that much of a romance. Like, people focused on the romance when they were reviewing it or when they were talking about it. But, like, they argued that it was more, like, just, like, a fiction book and stuff like that. And so I think that's one thing, though, with romance novels that we've talked about on the show before is that they tend to just give away everything on the back of the book versus, like, other books mystery books try not to give it away or science fiction books. So I think that is something this book inherited as, like, being, because it was classified as, like, a romance novel,
yeah,
is that it just gives away the entire plot.
I mean, I feel like I haven't read a lot of romance books, but I feel like that makes sense as a convention of romance novels, just because people are probably looking for something very specific from them and, like, trying to kind of engage in a very specific fantasy. So it makes sense that, like, the descriptions let you pick the fantasy that you want, whereas, like, when people go into other certain genres of books, they,
like,
maybe want
mystery?
To be more, yeah, they want to be more surprised, or even, like, quote unquote serious lit fiction and stuff, it's, like, usually pretty vague. But I'm happy I read this without knowing all of that, because I think I would have enjoyed the book a lot less if I knew that she was gonna go see Yuki and I, like, that wouldn't work out and then she'd leave, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I like a little bit of mystery.
Well, that's good. I'm
yeah.
Actually, it's funny because most of the guests I get on here don't look at the back of the book.
Mm.
They will just, like, read it based on what I tell them or based on what I, like, you know, if I just tell them to read it, they'll be like, okay. Or it's, like, someone that's already read the book that's coming on the show and is just, like, rereading it for the episode. So they already, like, know what happened. But, yeah, I think it gives definitely, like, the most, like, authentic reaction. Anyways, I'm having some sound issues.
Okay.
So we're going to take a quick break, but I thought I'd play this song that very much establishes the theme. So the theme of this series is accidental marriage, and what is more accidental marriage than getting married in Vegas drunk? So we're going to listen to the song Waking Up in Vegas by Katy Perry.
Perfect, perfect.
I think this is, you know, this is a great song, so I hope you all enjoy this.
Gotta help me out. It's all a blur last night. We need a taxi, 'cause you're hungover and I'm broke. I lost my fake ID, but you lost the motel key. Spare me a freaking
All right. Hello, and welcome back to the show. This is Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. Thank you so much for your patience. I hope you enjoyed that lovely song. I sure did. And I got all my tech problems solved, so that was fun, too. And we gained a new guest,
hello.
Bailey. Hello. How are you?
I'm back. I'm good. It's cold out.
It is cold.
And, yeah.
But you're happy to be here?
I'm happy to be here. I enjoyed the book. It was a little bit of a scramble for me to finish it. But also, since I went between reading it and listening to the audiobook, so I feel, like, jumbled.
Mm.
But, yeah. And also, too, like, I don't know. Sometimes I just can't focus reading a book, so usually I have to read it twice. But I only read this once. But...
That's fair. Okay.
Anyways, I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. The book was... Should I give you, like, my review?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Cool.
Before, do you want to give us your thoughts on the blurb on the back
blurb
of the book? Is accurate? As you speed read it?
It's accurate. And I think, like, the vibe of the blurb is exactly the vibe of the
book.
Sorry, this is, like, I'm giving you a really bad answer.
No, that's okay. I shouldn't have asked you.
You think it spoils it, though?
I think it's just, it's, like, basically a plot summary. Obviously, there's a lot of, like, details like, things that happen outside of the blurb, but, like, I think the blurb could end after, like, she gets married in Vegas and starts questioning her life plans. And then,
then
we find out everything else during the book.
Yeah. That's, like, the teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. I didn't understand the end.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Bailey, getting a little ahead of it. You're like, let's start by talking about the end. I mean, everyone knows the show is just spoilers, so you can't. So when I make a post about the books, like I try to post them on Instagram, you know, for my 30 followers.
That's a lot.
I know. That's actually, it's impressive. I'm impressed. I started this almost a year ago, and I have 30 followers.
Wait, I don't follow you. I'll follow you right now.
Oh, thank you. But anyways, I try to, like, summarize it more condensely because I don't want to just copy-paste the entire, like, thing. So I try to make it, like, a teaser.
That's a hard thing to do, though.
It is so hard. I didn't think, like, I'm so good at Canva. I just, like, throw together those designs.
And then
I spend, like, an hour just being like, I don't know what to write here to, like, make people want to read this book. Anyways, so this is what I wrote for this one. I wrote, 20-year-old Grace just got her PhD in astronomy and is headed on a girls' trip in Vegas. But what she is not expect... Oh, wow. That's not good. But what she is not expected... What she did not expect, is what I meant to write, is a drunken marriage to a woman she just met. Now torn between the expectations of her family and this new marriage, she is faced with the tough life choices. And I feel like that is, like, kind of what you're getting at, I see it. It's like a teaser, you
mm-hmm.
know? It's like,
you should be hired to do
this job.
Yeah. I think you'd do a great job.
Write little blurbs. I mean, I'd have to get them edited, obviously, because I don't read for grammar. but that's fine. Okay, so now, Bailey, you can give your general reactions.
General reactions.
Overall, like, feelings about the book. Did you like it? Did you not like it? General.
Okay, I will say, at first I was reading it, so I'll take you through, like, my process. So I started reading it, and I was like, sweet, this is kind of like a little, like, cute, like, slice of life. And then I was super into it with the astronomy mm-hmm. and the scientific versus, like, spiritual characters falling in love, because I feel like I always struggle with that. It's like, person I'm interested in is, like, very, like, science, and I'm always like, God, or, like, I don't know, spiritual. So then I, like, really like that.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I don't know if I'm enjoying this, because it's very, like, just, like, chilling. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just, like, frazzled because I got here late. I thought that, like, when I was, like, starting to be, like, I don't know if I'm, like, really liking this, because it was too, like, I feel like it wasn't juicy enough. But then it started, as soon as I was thinking that, it started to get a little bit juicy. Like,
how do you define juicy?
Juicy, like things happen and you're like, oh, like I don't want to like start
dramatic tension.
Yeah, like dramatic, like,
oh, yeah,
crazy.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was just going to kind of be like a little like fan fiction, like they fall in love and like it's just like their life. So yeah, I kind of went from like, oh yeah, this is great, to like, oh, I'm just chilling, listening to this like little romance. Like, I like romance though. But then also, okay, also, sorry, this is all over the place. I love like the slow burn, but would you say that this is a slow burn?
No.
It's not. Okay, because no. I was like,
explosion, pause, another explosion, yeah. Pause, one more explosion.
Yeah. I also was kind of like, I prefer the slow burn. But then I don't know, towards the end I was like, no, this is, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
So that was my like process. Yeah.
Nice. I like it. I like it. All right, Aisia, what was your process?
My process was, when I first started the book, I thought that Morgan, what's the author's last name?
Morgan Rogers.
Rogers. Okay. Morgan Rogers did a good job of like, I feel like every character she described, I knew exactly who they were on, like, at least a surface level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the second, like, Zinema and Agnes are introduced, like, I feel like I had a pretty good idea of who they were. And, like, the way she writes is very descriptive. And, like, I mm-hmm. had a very clear image of everything that was going on, which is always nice to do in a book, which also made like everything go by very quickly. Like I never really had to go back and reread something to be
yeah.
like, what happened? But then I think the issue for me was I don't think it went much past that, like getting deeper
yeah.
into the characters and like the relationships, which I guess we'll talk about maybe a bit more later if mm-hmm. we go deeper into characters.
For sure.
But overall, I think there was just a lot of different characters and a lot of relationships to keep track of in like such a relatively like medium short book, mm-hmm. so it was just hard to get really invested. And I think the lack of juice is like a kind of good way to describe it. Like the conflict was never like my heart never dropped.
Yeah.
I never like got stressed, you know, reading it.
Yeah.
Which I think it could have used. Mm-hmm. But
I got
it's
stressed
fine.
At one point, but I think it was because I literally did what I was listening to wrong.
What was it?
I think I thought they were like getting a divorce or something, or like not like getting a divorce, but I thought Grace was like marrying someone else, but it's her mom, right?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. I was
yeah,
like,
that's
oh.
a misinterpretation.
Yeah.
What did you think of the book when you first read it, Randy?
So I first read this book, I want to say the summer of 2021, but I think I'd have to look up when it was published, but I obviously rated it like 5 stars. I was like, this book is so good. It's so amazing. But then I reread it. But here's my thing. I mentioned this twice a year earlier. I listened to it as an audiobook this time, like when I was rereading it for the show, because the audiobook was only $6 and the ebook was like $16. And I really did not like the audiobook. But I think my thing is I don't like audiobooks in general. Like, I've never really listened to them, and I don't do well. And I think the biggest thing with this book, the reason why it took me out of the story, is because the narrator does a great job. Don't get me wrong. But they kind of, like, go between different voices.
Oh.
Like, just doing their own interpretation of voices.
Same for mine.
I'm sure we listen to the same narrator. I don't
Maybe.
Think
wait,
I don't
wait,
know how
wait,
many
that's
times.
A lot of work to narrate a book, so.
Yeah.
And then you can tell me if it's the same.
Well, I have no idea who it is.
Wait.
Are you going to play it?
Was this it?
Yeah. I mean, it's the opening credits, wait. But I need the voice.
Oh, wait, sorry. This is the...
Copyright 2021.
That's the, like...
There you go.
Chapter 22? Okay.
20. The day of the wedding finally comes.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the same one. Yeah. Okay. So when the narrator does the men, she does, like, the tone that I do when I make fun of men. Mm. So it's like, hi, my name's Todd. Like, and so it just, like, immediately just, like, takes me out of it. And I was also listening on, like, 1.5 speed because I was I just need to, like, get through it. So I think that, like, impacted. But overall, I still like this book. I think I've mentioned this, like, a few times. Like, I look at it as less being, like, a romance and more of, like a I don't know, like a
millennial
a fiction.
Core.
Yeah.
It's a whole genre, in my opinion.
But it's, like, I don't know. It's a book about life. And I feel like, to me, it's really interesting because if this was just a book about Grace, like, graduating and, like, having, like, an existential crisis, I probably wouldn't find it as interesting. But I think the fact that she's married is, like, this weird, like, curveball that, like, makes it different. It's a different story than just, you know, like, oh, I'm struggling because I'm, you know, got my PhD and I don't know what to do with my life. This is, like, an added level. It's like, hey,
yeah,
I don't know what to do with my life, which, like, I don't know. I'm graduating in 3 months. I know, Bailey, you're finished your master's in also 3 months. I see you graduated last year?
Yeah, last May.
Yeah, last May. So, like, this feeling of, like, coming to the end of something so major in your life.
Yeah.
And then the added, like, can you imagine if you were also, like, got drunk married in Vegas? Like,
yeah.
To not someone who that, lives across then, the country.
Yeah, and to someone who's not, like, a total different, like, worldview, like, scientist versus, like, not scientist. That's crazy.
Those are the two types of people in this world. Scientist and not scientist. Yeah, I like that the stakes are high.
Yeah.
It's a thing, because, I mean, not to go on this a tangent for too long, but I watched The Worst Person in the World recently, which is also it's a pretty good movie, same themes, like, she doesn't know what she's doing with her life, but I never thought the stakes were high enough. I wanted her to, like, really mess up or, like, something crazy to happen, so I'm happy that that happened in this book.
No, this book is, I mean, like, it depends how you look at it, but, like, either, yeah, like, Grace does a lot of things that could be seen as, like, very major mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so overall, I liked the book. Yeah, I like it. It's definitely not perfect. No book is perfect, but I like this book, and I definitely recommend it to, like, a lot of people. Because it's also, like, a very different book than a lot of books
I've
read.
Actually, yeah, this is a good recommend, actually. Yeah. And my friends will always be like, what? Because it made me a book, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's also, like, a light-ish read.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not super long, it's not super, I read this, like, 500-page Western romance. That was long.
That sounds rough.
Yeah, it was.
What was it about?
I'm not going to talk about it. I can't. I've been trying to process my feelings about it for 4 days, and I can't do it. Cool. Okay, so now that we've got our main things out of the way. Oh, yeah, this is another thing, Bailey, that I'm curious, just as a side tangent about the audiobook. Another thing I found was hard is that I didn't feel like the sarcasm tone was captured very well for her friends. Because her friends, when you read it, you read her friends is so sarcastic. But when you're listening to it, they just sound like jerks. Like, they sound so mean.
I was really confused about her relationship with her friends. That's, Ximena? Wait.
And Agnes.
Is it with the...
Like, was she, like, at some point, like... dating them? They're like,
no, it's just like, you know, they're all, well, Ximena
roommates?
And Agnes are kind of like flirty friends,
but
they're not, you know, they like it's a will they won't they situation,
so
I
there's
think, with them.
Yeah, there's Agnes and did you say Ximena?
I assume
in the audiobook it's like Ximena.
Yeah,
oh,
it
that
like
makes
Ximena.
Sense. That's true. That would make sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
correct.
Like, reading it, like, sometimes I just don't pronounce things when reading, and just like that was it. And then after the fact, I'm like, I don't know what this name actually sounds like.
IRL.
But yeah, I thought that they were. I don't know. Who did you like better?
Of the friends, I don't feel like I know any of them very well.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
I also, I don't know. When I, like, first came, I will say the one thing, like, the first time I read this book, I remember for the first part, I was so petrified that, like, the Raj character was going to turn into, like, he secretly loved Grace and was, like, had a crush on.
Me too,
But the reason why is because in most romance novels, when a woman has a guy best friend, that's usually what ends up happening.
That's true.
But then they, like, really were like, no, he's my brother. And I was like, oh, thank God. Like, I don't want to have to read this. Yeah. Okay. So, wait, what was your, what, did you ask a question? Oh, the.
Who did you like?
Yeah. I don't know. I think Agnes was the most entertaining. I think we can get to this, but Ximena, Icia, you brought this up when you were like reading the book. You were like, why does she make all these friends out of her patients?
Yeah.
And after you said that, I couldn't get it out of my head. The fact that they basically just like, to meet Agnes in those circumstances and then be like, you're going to be my friend, and then have this, like, weird will-they-won't-they romantic relationship. I feel like that was, like, a lot. Didn't know how to process.
It's just, like, very, like, she's taking care of her, and I don't know. I just thought it was a weird... Ximena just seemed to take care of everyone.
Yeah.
And she seemed fine doing it, but I don't know. I thought it was a bit strange.
A bit much. Yeah. Okay. Well, we can get to main characters if we want to. If we want to chat a bit about Grace.
Okay. Grace.
Did you find her to be a likable character? Was she, you know, annoying? I see you shaking your head.
I don't know if I liked Grace.
That's fair. Tell me.
Like, I don't know. I'm confused how she ended up with Yuki.
I feel like I don't align with you when you're like, they're like separated by like this religious versus scientific. Because I don't see that like divide as like much in the novel between them.
I guess in the novel, which was actually kind of why I was it was like a nice read for me, because like, I feel like Yuki helped Grace kind of like grow a little bit. But I don't know. I just feel like it's always hard to reconcile beliefs when it's like one person has like a very scientific view of like the universe, and then the other person is very like spiritual.
But I don't think Grace is that scientific, whole thing is like she has this romantic view of astrology that she shares with her professor that they're like her other peers don't have. But like Yuki's whole monster thing, like I think most people would find that difficult to go along with. Okay, like I would be like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
I was confused about the monster thing.
It's a metaphor for her belief in people.
Yeah, and she likes to believe humans. And I will say like the way it was like described was like, oh, that's sweet. Like
it's sweet.
I was like, not me, but that's sweet.
Yeah. So like the more I think about it, I'm like, I think they're trying to paint Grace as like in that moment as being like not down and being a bit insensitive, but
yeah,
I fully agree with her in that moment.
Yeah, I think they're like they're more divided in like their personalities, because Grace, like growing up, like she's taught to be so rigid, she's like structured and scheduled, whereas Yuki seems like a what we would classify as like a free spirit. She's like go with the flow.
Yeah.
But I can see how like I think I don't know. But that's really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe I'm just like salty from my
Your personal experience. You're just kind of putting
onto the novel. Okay. But I mean, it was like partially that's why it was probably like a good read for me, because I was like, this is great. It should be like this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's fair.
I don't know.
That's fair.
But yeah, also I felt like they were very much opposites. I don't know. I guess maybe they weren't, though. Sorry. I don't know.
It's such a fair thought to have. I guess, like, I don't view them as super being opposite. I have another book recommendation that I'm going to make you read after this.
Okay.
But it's called Written in the Stars, and it's, like, very clearly an astronomy. Like, so it's a sapphic novel as well, but it's, like, one of the women is, like, she runs, like, an astrology blog, and she's like very well known for like doing like, I think, like tarot card readings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then the other person is like a Matt. I don't know what she is, but she's some sort of scientist. And like that, the tension and the conflict of the relationship is those beliefs like coming to head, because like the sciencey person doesn't believe in astrology. And like the astrology person is like, why can't you believe in this like really fun thing that's like so, you know, like sweet and heartfelt and stuff. So I think maybe because I've read that book where it's like so obvious that that's the conflict, I don't see it as much in this book. As being like a straight up conflict.
Because
the author doesn't make it so obvious.
I might have been like,
yes.
Okay.
Commentary on this. But yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I agree. It's definitely like a personality and upbringing thing. I mean, we don't know much about Yuki's life before Grace, but Grace has a like military dad upbringing is like a very specific thing. And her dad is like, I mean, again, talk about this when we talk about the characters, the character writing, but her dad doesn't seem like a real person, even though he,
no. Mm-hmm.
There are many people like that. I was kind of like confused about their relationship in certain ways.
Yeah.
Her dad reminded me of like the Pulp Fiction army dad.
Pulp Fiction army dad? Who's the army dad in Pulp Fiction? I haven't seen Pulp Fiction in like 7 years.
Maybe not actually. That might be like just a bad. But that was my like impression of the dad. Like,
you just imagine the, Samuel like, L. Jackson.
No, not him. Not him. No, the like Butch's dad that gives him the watch.
Oh. Anyways.
Never mind. Okay. I don't know. The dad was like, that was a emotional part at the mom's wedding. I felt like for me, the dad, I was like.
Yeah.
That kind of hit hard, but I don't know. Does it ever talk about her mom? I feel like I didn't absorb any of that.
Kind well, of her mom's kind of like Yuki. No?
Yeah.
Like, her mom's, like, free spirit and, like...
finding herself, traveling the world.
Travels, married to a guy called Kelly.
Oh!
With tattoos on his neck.
Yeah, or engaged, sorry.
In a southern accent.
I loved Kelly. Honestly, controversial, I think. Wait. Kelly was my favorite character.
That's really? Fair. Kelly just was cool.
Just because, I think it was because he was truly written to be just like a side character that was just kind of there.
Yeah.
And because he was meant to be that way, I didn't mind that he didn't get that much.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did get, I was like, yeah, nice guy. I like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a very quick ad break, and when we come back, I think maybe we should talk about the dad.
Megamall's debut EP, Escape from Lizard City, goes live on Friday, July 1st. Buy the cassette and lyric book on Bandcamp or stream wherever you listen to music. For the last 2.5 years, you could avoid everyone except yourself. Welcome to Lizard City.
Are you interested in radio? Do you want to start your own show but you don't know where to get started? Make your radio dreams come true by joining a collective. From the news collective, the arts collective, the music collective, the sports collective, the accessibility collective, the indigenous collective, and the intersectionality collective, there's something for everyone, and we provide free technical training to get started. Explore these worlds virtually and in person, and be prepared to make fun friends. For more information, visit citr.ca/get involved.
If you're out there and you are wearing a patterned sweater, Bluntstones, and thrifted jeans in the front left of Psych 102, meet me February 2nd at 8 p.m. at CITR Station in the AMS Nest to get to know each other better over some $3 beers and cool local bands. Show me that chivalry is not dead.
CITR wants to broadcast our love for you by putting on a live show at the CITR Station on February 2nd at 7:30 p.m. This will be the official Fun Drive kickoff show. Tickets are only $5, drinks are cheap, and we have 4 amazing local bands performing. Nonarchy, Magnolia, Punching Knives, and Cat Larceny.
All
Are you interested in conversations about intersectionality? Listen to Intersections, presented by CITR 101.9 FM's Intersectionality Collective, a show where we tackle a range of topics that impact gender, race, sexuality, and social justice, like anti-fat bias, understanding microaggressions, and racism in the food industry. Tune into Intersections bi-weekly on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM. Each episode will feature either a panel discussion from the members of the Intersectionality Collective or an expert on that week's topic. So tune in and also check out our episode archive on citr.ca/intersections. All right. Hello and welcome back. You are listening to Dog Eared Radio Book Club. This is your host, Randy, speaking, and I'm joined in studio by Bailey and Isaiah. I always forget people's names as soon as I go to say them.
Oh my gosh, I do that all the time.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so we left off Grace. We had some complex feelings.
She's fine.
She's fine. Yeah, I think she's like, I don't know. There's parts where I was like, I agree with you 100%. I was like, I'm on your side. And then there's parts I was like, that was kind of a dumb move. Yeah. And I don't know why you did that. So I feel like she was interesting. You know, she was like she kept me on my toes, you know?
Yeah.
I can predict everything.
I feel like I don't really necessarily look to relate to characters in books, usually when I'm reading them. Mm-hmm. But I feel like because it seemed like she was supposed to be really relatable, but then I didn't find her relatable, that I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like she's supposed to represent this, like, struggle that so many people go through after university. But I think the fact that she got a PhD, I was like, yeah, like,
it made it, yeah.
I'm like, you can do a lot of, you can do many things. You just gotta relax a bit.
You can teach.
I'm like, just, yeah. And I'm like, you're fine. Like, I know you have this overbearing dad and he's conditioned you to, like, see the world in a very strict and impractical way that, like, will destroy your brain, but you're literally fine. Like, you're so fine. But I don't know.
Do you think it's partially because, like, the book is, like, her struggling with all of this, like, being married and, like, having, like, an identity crisis? I don't know what's happening. And then basically the solution is she finally goes to therapy.
Yeah. And then she goes to therapy and is, like, really good at it. And then basically says things that have been said in the book. Like, it seems like she's already figured out. Like, I feel like I knew this about her. I didn't, like, really learn anything about her through the therapy sessions.
Interesting.
I was like, yeah, duh. Just tell your dad to chill and that you have to do your own thing because you're a grown woman. And tell your mom, hey, why are you leaving me all the time? And then tell your friends, hey, I'll be better. And then tell the woman you love her. And then everything will be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It is kind of like, I almost wish, and I don't want to, like, get to the ending, but I'm just going to say this. But I feel like this book would be better if it didn't have, like, a wrap-it-up ending. Mm. Like, it was actually just, like, this person in crisis, and, like, she didn't just solve everything. Maybe, like, it could indicate that it got better, but it wasn't like, oh, she got everything she needed in the end. It was like, no, she's finally, like, starting to, you know? Like, I feel like that would be more satisfying almost, because I feel like, okay, and this is the thing that I want to get to with her parents. Like, this book made me, like, hate her father. Like, I was so annoyed every time he said something because I was like, you're so mean. Like, but, like, so then at the end to just have them have, like, one conversation that just, like, magically wraps up their relationship, which, like, I know isn't exactly, but I feel like it was too, like, short to be, like, and same with her mom. Like, they actually did with both parents. Like, I was so annoyed with both parents the entire book. And, like, because the fact, every time her mom was like, you can't run away from a problem. And I was like,
But that's what you do.
But that's, that's what you do. Also, like, who's to say she's running? Like, just because you leave a place doesn't mean, I don't know. Anyways, so I felt like that was just, like, whenever books, like, write this character that's, like, it's so obvious I'm not supposed to empathize with them or like them, which, like, what you were saying, Isaiah, like, her father is not even, like, a full-fledged character. Like, he seems just, like, because he only does, like, one thing and we never really see him to be, like, empathetic, and same with her mom, then at the end it makes it super hard to, like, just read this, like, you know, very quick fix, I guess.
Yeah. Even, like, throughout the few times throughout the book where she tries to talk to her dad, she'll be like, I don't know, there's some part in the middle when I think she visits him in his office and she's mm-hmm. like, why aren't you proud of me? And he's like, I am proud. And then she's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, why don't you keep going? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like when she prods a bit in the book, her dad opens up and, like, is nice for a moment. And obviously, I know it's not her job to, like, fix her dad and mm-hmm. like pull everything she needs out of him, but I don't know, to me the few times that she does actually try and have a real conversation with him, he does reciprocate with like genuine emotion.
Yeah.
So I didn't believe, I think like if throughout the whole book he was like completely cut off and then like something big happens and she like shocks him out of his like stoicism and then he finally has like a real moment with her, and then that would have been a bit more believable.
Yeah. Maybe.
I would have like been more emotionally impacted also.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I liked her dad. Is that messed up? I felt bad. I felt bad for her dad.
I mean, yeah, he obviously is like, you know, he's never hugged her. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, that's the first hug she remembers in, like, a decade, or I don't know what the verbiage was.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's wild.
That's impressive. Because, like, I, if he was, like, a human being, I would definitely empathize. But I'm, like, in the book, to me, like, the writing made it seem like I wasn't supposed, like, they didn't give me enough to be, like, I don't know. So I was just like, stop doing this. Like, just say, like, I'm proud of you. I don't know.
Yeah. And, like, the, like, therapy drop at the end where we find out that he has a therapist, too.
Yeah, so like, it's like, just... Okay. Yeah. Anyways, Bailey, I want to hear this.
I don't know. Just, like, at the end in the wedding when she talks to her dad, I don't even remember what they're talking about. But, like, I don't know. I just remember getting, like, super emotional at that part.
Yeah.
And I was like...
Well, that was the point. Like, so that's good. It did a good job.
It did what it was supposed to. That was the... But I don't know. I just, like... I guess I didn't really empathize with the dad until that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, damn, like, I don't know. He probably struggles opening up and, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a soft spot for dads. Because sometimes I feel like it's hard for dads to, like, relate to their daughters, too. Sometimes. Especially if they're, like, a big, strong colonel... I don't know. What do you think?
Okay, also, I'm just realizing, I think the other reason that I was so just, like, grated every time he was talking is because the voice that the narrator did in the audiobook was, like, I don't know if you can imitate it, but it was, like, I'm Colonel, like... And so every time he said anything, it just, like, was like, oh, my gosh, calm down. Like, it just felt very – and also, again, listening it to, like, 1.5 speed, it was just, like – it was, like, this very, like, kind of, like, imitating and, like, a booming, like
– Yeah.
So I feel like that also impacted
– Listening to any audiobook is hard because the narrator is always, like
– Yeah. And I appreciate it. Like, it's interesting, but I feel like in this case it really did, like, impact the way I viewed him.
Let me see.
Because it was harsh to me. Like, the voice that the narrator used sounded so incredibly harsh. So then everything he said, even if it, like, wouldn't be that. Because I think that was my other thing. Like, the fact that she didn't, like, she never really got angry. And maybe that's just because I would get angry. Like, I would lash back.
Yeah.
And I would yell back. So maybe that was, like, I yell at my dad all the time.
Whoa.
Yeah. I know. Like, I'm not going to pretend that I don't get angry. But so I think maybe that's just, like, the problem of, like, I am not a self-insert reader at all, but I feel like that's sometimes the way when I, like, get invested in a book, I'm kind of like, just, you know, just, like, do this. So you kind of, like, I kind of start to be like, why did, you know, that action makes more sense to me. So, like, I'm frustrated that you didn't do it. So I think maybe that, like, affected the way that I viewed her father.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of, like, the men in this book.
Honestly, none of the men were, like, well developed in this book.
Yeah. I feel like they weren't on purpose.
You think so?
I don't know.
I don't think any... like, when are we talking about the characters? When are we getting to the characters bit?
Okay, we can... Well, we're already talking about... yeah, all of it. Just talk about the characters. Let's go.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I feel really bad saying this. I think I'm going to say it, though. I was like, should I say this? But, okay. This book, obviously, Morgan Rogers is like, I'm a do diversity. I'm a do it today. And she inserted, there was like every, so many characters who checked off so many boxes of all these diverse identities, and they all were like paper people. Mm. Which is like, I mean, I get it. Why not, if you're gonna, you know, insert some side characters, you know, why not make them like people who aren't represented in books very often, mm-hmm. but like especially with Ximena and Mira and Raj and Agnes, which is already too many friends to be focusing on. None of them seemed like real people. Like Ximena was like the generous caregiver, and Agnes was like tough but soft underneath, and then Raj was just like a perfect guy who.
Yeah,
is big
like
brother.
I'm sorry. Does anyone have a big brother?
I do.
No.
Is your big brother like Raj?
No.
Yeah. No. That's not.
And then Mira's like, I don't even know anything about Mira. What is Mira besides
she's
studying
Raj's
psychology?
Younger.
Like,
wait, what?
Mira, the character Mira, she works at the tea shop with.
Yeah, she's the younger sister
of Raj, the of real Raj. Sister. I don't know, like. Pick one friend, and then I wish their relationship was developed more.
Yeah.
But, like, all these people got equal amount of time, which was no time, because there's, like, so many of them.
Yeah.
Like, why do we know Ximena as much as we know, like, Sani in New York? Like, pick...
Yeah, and all of those people.
Pick someone.
Well, I also feel like, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Yeah, this book definitely, like, checks off a lot of boxes. I also think... like what you're saying, I feel like it would have made more sense to like flesh out characters if like you could have scrapped Ximena, Ximena and Agnes, and just had her like have this like family friend relationship with Raj and Mira.
Yeah.
And then, but like you didn't even have to flesh it out that much because you could have had her go to New York earlier, and then you could have fleshed out her relationship with those. Like Yuki's friends, if that makes sense. Because also then I feel like even if we're getting into relationships, the relationship between her and Yuki, like
nothing.
At the end when they're like, oh, I love you. And I was like, do you though?
What do you love about her?
Like.
Besides her hair, her honey hair and her flushed cheeks. I don't know.
Yeah, her pink cheeks.
Yeah.
Did you get that her cheeks were pink? I don't know if all of you got that, but her cheeks were very pink. Mm-hmm. And her hair was very black.
Yeah, it was like manic. Everyone was just like manic pixie.
Yeah.
Dream insert identity here.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, her relationship with Yuki, it just didn't, it never, like, they're and super infatuated with each other, obviously, which is why they, like, got drunk married in the first place, but
yeah,
it never really goes past that.
Yeah, and I thought it would, too.
And you see her interact more with her radio persona than she does with Yuki as a person. Like, I feel like the most time... you spend with Grace and Yuki's when she's listening to her talk to her in code through her radio show, which is like romantic, yeah, but it's not like,
wait,
when do they talk like normal
substantial.
People? Yeah.
I feel like, whoa, that would have been cool if the book focused like more on that dynamic though.
Of course.
Like that would have been like, I don't know.
And I don't want to, I'm like... Once I enter hater mode, it's really hard for me to escape. But, like, why do they get... She spends this whole book talking about how, you know, she's had this plan, and she doesn't want to diverge from the plan, and blah, blah, blah. And what does she do? make a massive life decision based on this woman that she barely knows. Like, she's moving to a new state. Like, you can't tell me there's... There's the only reason is because Yuki lives there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that like, it's a book. It's a, like, you know, it's romance, fantasy, not actual fantasy, but kind of in a romantic sense. So like, it's a fun ending. But
all romance books are fantasy books. That's my new outlook True. On life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, looking at it through that lens, it's definitely much more permissible and, like, it doesn't really bother me that much that she does that. But, again, I think I agree with you how it should have ended a bit more openly because, like, her just being like, this is my new plan. I'm going to teach and move to New York. It's like, that's just a new plan that, yeah. like,
she should benefits have, yeah. someone. Or she should have actually had, like, a session maybe with her therapist to be like, you know, should I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you though. It kind of just came out of nowhere. She's like, oh, I'm gonna move to York.
It's pretty.
And it was, but it also bothered me because like they never discussed it. Like Yuki never discussed leaving New York, which always bugs me in relationships.
Yeah,
when it just is like, you know, because Yuki's like, I want you to stay, but like you don't, I get that you probably don't want to go to Portland. But like, no shade to Portland, but like, you live in New York City, I get that. Yeah. But like, that just, like, it felt so weird to just be like, I want you to stay, but I don't, like, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you weren't going to go. I don't know. Yeah, I just was reading my notes and I put somewhere that all of the relationships in this book seem really imbalanced.
Imbalanced?
Yeah, imbalanced. Oh, like, yeah. They're not, like, not that every relationship always has to be, like, equal all the time. Like, I get, so there's period, like, in friendships where you give more than you get because of where the other person's at.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was, like, the point, sort of, with Grace, because we're supposed to see her as, like, flawed and going through a lot, and, like, she's not doing well in her relationships. And, like, you know, in the scene when Raj just, like, calls her out on everything.
Yeah.
That was like that. I actually enjoyed that so much.
That was like the best. Like,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, and he's like, I feel so bad, and I was like, don't.
No.
Like, you're literally like, you're being, but yeah. But then I also, but then I wasn't really resolved. Like, I don't know. Like, if my friend just like ghosted me for a whole month without like telling, like she could have messaged and been like, hey, I need time. Like, I don't know. Like, I would have like panicked.
I think it's. Because they try to touch on it, like, she hasn't been a great friend, but it's just herself realizing that, her being like, I'm going to be a better friend, and then all her friends being like, you're great, whatever, we love you. If they got a bit angry at her, there was more conflict that lasted more than, like, three shots at a bar with Raj.
Yeah.
Then maybe it would have been more believable.
Yeah.
But.
Wait, was it because of school? Why is she just, like, ghosted?
No, it's when she goes to back to the farm
in
to
Florida.
Live with her mom, and she's just broken up with Yuki, or she just like left Yuki.
Yeah.
And is in super crisis mode. She just doesn't respond to her texts for ages, and then she finally does and is like, I need time. And then like a month later,
bruh,
she comes back and talks to everyone, and they're all eagerly waiting for her.
Yeah. And they fly to Florida. That's for terrifying. A wedding.
Yeah.
They like, my good friends wouldn't even find a Florida wedding for me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's,
I don't know, though. Like, sometimes you have to just go on a retreat.
No, I get that. But, like, you could say, hey, I'm going on a
okay.
retreat.
Fair.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, sometimes that's, like, hard.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
I think we got everything in small doses in the book. And she could have just picked a few and, like, mm-hmm. really gone. Like, even, like, yeah. when Yuki and Grace finally, like, have an intimate moment, it just, like, came out of nowhere and was really intense. Because it was like, oh, I gotta, you know, pleasure. I gotta include that in this book. And
yeah.
then it's over. And then, like, I don't know. I just thought it was
yeah
really sudden. And then it makes sense. But just everything was just, like, we got little tastes of what could be a bigger story, mm-hmm. and then we'd move on to the next thing.
What did you guys think about the like romance writing, like in their relationship?
Yeah, usually I have notes, so like romantic parts when we talk about romance novels. I don't have any because I don't like what you were saying, like the stuff was like romantic with this show and stuff. I thought it was cute when Yuki was talking about how she wanted a wife for someone to text her late at night.
Because
that to me, that was just like very like, you know, like very cute and like quaint and domestic.
Wait,
and stuff.
I
thought that was like
bookmarked
really
that
adorable
part. I don't know. Yeah. I thought it was a little bit cheesy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure. Like, their phone calls and stuff were so perfect. Like, there's no way that, like, you're that casual with someone and, like, that witty. You literally drunk married.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We need to talk about the humor in this book, but we'll get to that after. Okay. Because I have a lot of thoughts. But, Bailey, what did you bookmark?
Hold on. I thought
you found it.
No.
But, yeah. So, I have, like, the cute thing about, like, the wife to text and then their phone calls. Yeah, it was, like, interesting. Oh, the texts were so annoying in the audiobook, though. Because it was, like, 12:42, Yuki.
I didn't listen to any of the texts in the audiobook.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like the text period more than when they actually saw each other for some reason. I feel like, I don't know.
I think Grace was more open in the text.
Yeah. I feel like the romance in it was just all, it was like a lot of infatuation that we never see it really build to much else. And then they stay married. I don't know. They never talk about it. Like, I don't know. Also, okay, sorry. If I had a roommate and they're like, this stranger's coming to live with us, I'd be like, no. No, for like a whole summer, a new roommate in your house?
Like, already, like, that New York apartment is so small.
Yeah,
like,
there's three of them.
So small. Like, I live in a two-bedroom apartment with one bathroom, and we're like, we need ample time to prepare if someone's coming to stay two nights on the weekend.
Yeah. I'd be like, okay, they can stay for a week, but a summer, I don't care how cool
they are. My rule is over 2 weeks, they start paying partial rent and utilities. All of my past roommates have hated me for that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, they're using my oven. They're paying for it.
Like, over 2 weeks is a long time.
Yeah. You're basically moving in.
Yeah. I thought that. I'm like, no one's going to say anything about this new roommate.
Yeah.
I'm not that generous.
Like,
I guess she's your wife, but sorry.
Yeah. But I don't know. Their relationship, Yuki's relationship with her roommates made no sense.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, I don't know. I did not. Anyways.
It was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bailey,
I don't know.
Just looking at me.
Just like, yeah, I think it's also, it was like hard for me to like kind of understand too. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just felt weird. Like, it didn't feel genuine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think this goes back to what you were saying, Asiya. Like, all of these characters are just like, they're like archetypes or like paper.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, did either of you do the Flat Stanley Project in elementary school?
No, but
wait,
I do know what that is.
Flat Stanley? Why do I know that?
Okay.
How do I know that?
I'll look
name?
For a picture. But basically, the Flat Stanley Project, or yeah, you look it up. It's like this little white dude named Stanley. It's like this little like cartoon. It's like a gingerbread man, and you like color it in, and then you're supposed to send it to someone else, and they like take pictures wherever they get it. So like, I sent mine to Vegas with a family friend. So then I had, for my project, I just had pictures, of, like, this little, like, flat stand. Anyways, but it just, so, like, I feel like these characters are, like, flat stand. They're just, like, a paper, you know? They're just, like, a cutout of a person with, like, a few features. And that's exactly it, because you're Stanley. You had to, like, give it, like, a backstory. So you had to write this, like, little, like, write-up on it. Anyways. But, yeah, I feel like that was, like, yeah, with her friends. But then more with, like, Yuki's friends, because we don't really like, Dorian is a nurse,
yeah,
and
Sonny's a fighter,
and yeah, an MMA fighter,
but like professionally.
Well, no,
no,
there's
right?
No way. Like, I'm sorry, okay. no offense to Sonny, but I don't think.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait, like underground?
No,
no,
like
mixed martial arts. Black market fighting.
I mean, we don't know. Maybe this is like an underground MMA. If he gets like a spin-off story, maybe his will be an underground MMA romance. Yeah. I'd be down.
No.
That's like one of my favorite.
Wait, I love the like
fight romances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're right. So dramatic.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God. Like,
if you want,
the, like,
if you want juiciness, that's what you gotta read.
Yeah. We like mafia, like boxing era.
We're reading a mafia romance in this season.
Yeah, I was looking at it on your Instagram. It looks crazy.
Which one? It is wild.
Wait, I'll find it to show to you. It's called, can I say it?
Yeah.
Brutal Vows. Look at that cover art. It's for those who are listening in, it's a...
Is it the man?
A man with tattoos and a beard and big pecs.
The new one is also really good. I debated because that's the cover art that was the cover art when I... But see if you can find... Because the new one is like her hands are like crossed like this and then his hands are holding them.
Whoa.
It's a little spicy.
Oh, I see it.
Ooh. Anyways, sidetrack. But stay tuned for the Mafia romance.
I think one thing I should say in my analysis of this book is that I don't read a lot of books in this genre, or I don't really think I have for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Since I was like a youth, where I would just read them. The only thing I would get from them is like, oh my gosh, there was a sex scene, because I was too young to be reading them.
Yeah.
So I'm not super familiar with the conventions, and maybe I'd be a bit more nice if I knew them.
Wait, what do you mean?
Just like, you know, different genres of books have different...
Oh.
Like... I know. A lot of the books I read are about depressed people making really bad decisions. Not like her depressed bad decisions.
Like real bad.
Like life altering. They probably die at the end of the book. So.
Okay.
I don't know. I was just like, goes to therapy and is great now. Cool.
That's why I invited the both. Because I knew that you would both have like interesting perspectives on this book.
Okay, honestly, like my thoughts, I was like, I feel like the author is like...
Also, this is a debut novel. I didn't say that at the beginning of the show, but I meant to say it. This is her I'm sure this is her debut novel.
It is. I googled.
Yeah, I feel like
I try to do my research.
It's a good debut novel, and I feel like the author kind of just was like writing something for the people who like have this experience.
Yeah.
Sorry. I can't like describe. I feel like I can't get my thoughts out coherently.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I read it, I was like happy to read it because the experience was kind of just like, I don't know. I feel like you never hear from this perspective, or like you never hear stories like this.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's like a good romance novel to like be out there.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't like go in depth to like any of the character relationships, for example, or like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just thought it was a good like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think, okay, this may be a really mean thing to say, mean hot take, but... Maybe I feel like Morgan was kind of writing the character of Grace in an educational way.
Yeah.
Like, look how hard it is for Black women in certain fields. They have to work twice as hard to go half as far, and people doubt them, and they face all these things, and they suffer extreme burnout, which is very true, and, like, people should be aware of this. But I think if, like, you already know this to be true... it's not a very interesting exploration of that. It's more of like, just like this happens. So if you go into the book not really being that aware of it, then I think it's very useful and is doing a good thing. But like, I don't know. I feel like I've read other books that kind of explore this theme, like NW by Zadie Smith. There's like four main characters that she explores throughout the novel, but one of them is like following a similar theme, but it's, again, this... She, like, spirals in a more interesting way, and, like, you kind of see her struggles through her life in a way that is more subtle and nuanced, but you get, like, way more out of it than I think I get personally out of Grace in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that completely.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It just feels like it was, like, this book is kind of just there, but I, like, read it, and I was like... Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Like,
true.
But it's still, like, I still, like, it was a good read.
Mm-hmm.
But also the, like, the romance writing, I feel like, wasn't what I would necessarily read if I was, like, wanted to pick up a romance novel.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was, like, I don't think the point of it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
That's, look, I don't know. That was my, so I got this recommendation, I'm probably from Book Talk, because that's where I get most of my book recommendations. And I think it probably was marketed to me as a romance. And when I was, like, halfway through reading, I was like, this is not very romantic. So I was like, when are you going to Vegas? Like, go get your wife. Like, what? Because, like, in most, so the reason I picked this trope is because I freaking love books where these two people get drunk married in Vegas, and then they have to, like, for some reason they stay married, and you're like, there's no reason you need to be married.
Yeah.
You could get a divorce. You could get an annulment. Like, this,
yeah.
You literally got drunk married in Vegas. Like, there's no reason you need to be married, but for some reason they stay married, and it just leads to, like, super funny conflict and, like, absolute just, like, bonkers tension.
Yeah.
So that's
what...
There
was no tension.
Exactly. So that's why, like, I don't know. I think this is an interesting book to start the season off on, because I was very clear about, like, I think I told both of you that, like, it's not a very romance forward book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very much like a character analysis of, like, one person.
Yeah.
Like, no more than just Grace, but it's, like, it's a book about Grace. But anyways, yeah. We're going to take a very quick break, and then I think we'll come back and maybe wrap up our thoughts on stuff. So please keep listening.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
Help me find a bathrobe. I'm so cold without it.
What?
Can you help me find a bathrobe? I'm so cold without it.
Maybe you can go to...
I heard at CITR you can donate during Fun Drive from February 2nd to 9th to get cool prizes like lighters, wine glasses, bathrobes, and more. Donate to CITR to help community radio thrive.
To donate, go to citr.ca/donate.
All right. Hello, and welcome back to Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. This is your host, Randy. I'm joined in studio today by Bailey and Isaiah, and we are talking about the book Honey Girl by Morgan Rogers. Oh my gosh, I have something in my eye.
No.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about what I'm labeling the humor in this book. I don't know if that's, like, the right term, but basically, like, the amount of times they're, like, they make, like, jokes about, like, oh yeah, like, screw capitalism, and, like, they make, like, very, like, I don't know how to explain this, but, like,
Just on the nose.
Yeah, like on the nose kind of things. Yeah. And they're like I don't know, they make jokes about being gay and stuff like that. And like I waffled back and forth because it was like on one hand I make a lot of these jokes all the time with my friends, but I also feel like I do it in an ironic way.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it was like it sort of gave the vibes of like those like white liberal comedies that come out now that have this like very on the nose humor that are like they're anti-capitalist but at the same time they're like not actually. I don't know, but I like I'm curious about what you so like I have a couple examples. So the one they like make the joke about Portland's diversity quota and then like the thing about her finding therapists and like the old white lady who like responds by being like, oh, so you need to talk about the imperialism of the military industrial complex. I did laugh at that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, but that kind of like on the nose, like, I don't know how to explain it. I feel like I'm very bad at like explaining humor, but I'm just curious about like, did you find it annoying? Did you find it like realistic?
I found it a little bit annoying. I don't know. Like there was like a moment where I like Googled the author because I was like, is the author white? Like,
oh no.
Is that... I don't know. I don't know. Like, I had like a moment of doubt, but
yeah,
I don't know.
But sorry.
No,
but in addition, that makes me think of like what you were saying, how like it's very like educational and it makes me think of like who the like intentional audience of this book is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it reads like it is kind of like the masses. It's like, you know, like when I say like, oh, it's an easy recommendation, because it is. Like it's just like
it's an easy read, like
you know, like there's not really like a deeper anything to it. So it yeah. I don't know. So do we think that
I think well to answer your humor question,
okay.
I do think it was mostly pretty yeah, I would say leaning towards annoying more. The only time where I was like, oh, I'd say that is just when one of them's like FY people. Randomly. I'm like, that's funny. But I think just as funny. But yeah, a lot of them were very like, yeah, it was like, we're in a sitcom. And
yes,
this is
yes.
a sitcom. Zinger.
Yeah.
The white therapist did make me laugh. That like yeah. I thought that was funny. But yeah, it just is very like educational. Like, okay, personally I'm not a overachiever or shoot for the stars in any way. So I can't really relate to Grace's struggle on that. But, like, I don't know, Bailey, you're, like, in a very technical field, like, music,
doing your
technical,
masters
in classical saxophone. And, like, it, from what I hear from you, it's, like, not, you're, like, one of the few black people and you're, like, fighting for your life, basically. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's, like, do you relate to her struggle in that at all?
I don't know.
In that way?
I do, but in a less, like, I don't know. I feel like it's not, like, the book is very, like, commercial.
Mm.
And then my experience is maybe more like, I could never just, like, go to my teacher and just be, like, pour out my heart or like I don't know
yeah
it's interesting because it's like seems like her character is fully aware that the experience she's having in academia it's not her it's the academic system
yeah.
And she's like I don't deal with it because they just don't treat me the way I should and she's right about that and like on one hand she's like I'm not going to internalize that because they suck but then also she like kind of deeply internalizes it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess that's like, it's kind of like that. But then,
yeah.
I don't know, sometimes it's hard to like I'm not always like, it's just the institution. Like, a lot of the time I'm like, I'm the problem. But I don't know. I just feel like it's different when you're actually like, it's easy to like read and be like, yeah. But then as soon as I'm like in school, it's like different because you're like friends with everyone and like you respect the profs and everything. So it's like hard to hate the institution. I don't know.
Yeah. Like even if the book was about that, I think I would have liked it.
I kind
more.
Of thought it would go more deeper into that also.
I also think maybe it would have, like, if her friends were in her program or also, like, PhD students, you know, like, you know, instead of having these friends that, like, come from her dad getting sick, like, having, you know, like, one friend that's in her program maybe, or, like, another PhD student, you know, because I also feel like students tend to be friends with students a lot of the time.
I don't know,
because
PhD?
Yeah.
Master's is lonely.
Yeah? Okay.
I haven't... No, I have friends.
I'm so sorry. I was like, what am I, Bailey? Chopped liver? Like,
no, I mean, like,
no, I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, so I feel like, but I feel like, you know what I mean, though? If they had more characters in academia, then they could have went into it more.
Yeah.
But they only had her and her advisor. Yeah. I also, it's so weird because when I was, like, listening to this book, I felt like there was a scene where she confronted her, like, advisor about the fact that she's a white lady in the program, so it's different.
Yeah.
But that never actually happened. She does it in her head, I think.
Yeah, she
should've.
Wait,
was that in her head?
I think
because
so.
Because I feel like I also thought that.
Yeah, I thought she said it to her and was like, hey, like, I get that you're so optimistic, but, like, you also don't under...
Yeah, I think she thought it.
Yeah, I think she...
I definitely
it was kind of hard to tell. She thought a lot of things and then never said them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, okay.
Anyways, okay, so the humor we've landed on, pretty, annoying. Okay, so...
Not totally annoying.
Yeah, but, like...
It was funny bits.
Yeah, like, there were parts where I did, like, laugh, but then there was parts... Like, I think Yuki's roommates were just so, like... Everything had to be a witty response.
Yeah,
like
witty
nothing
responses.
Felt real. Like everything that Fletcher said or like Dorian said, I was just like, okay, like great. Like
even like I feel like they were trying to explore some like metaphors for her relationship with her blackness through hair. Like her therapist gave her hair advice, and like Dorian would like or Fletcher. I can't.
I think it was Dorian.
Dorian.
Because Fletcher's the token white dude.
Okay, Dorian. Dorian would, like, help her with her hair, and it was like, oh, this is nice. But then it was so brief. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
I think it, it kind of felt like the ways in which, like, I don't know, people on TikTok, I don't know if either of you are big TikTok users, but, like, every once in a while it'll get, like, this, like, 30-second video of this white mom doing their black daughter's hair.
It
becomes, like, this really, like, divisive, like, you know, so it becomes, like, just, like, either, like, you know, like, the...
High praise.
The high praise for an interracial relationship, or, like, it becomes, like, this weird, like, convoluted, but it's not, like, there's no humanity given, I guess. Like, they, like, viewing it as, like, you know, like, a family and, like, these two people interacting outside of these 30... Does that make sense? I feel like Yuki's friends were sort of like that. It was just like all of their best moments. It's like if you took a collage of like all my funniest moments and put it together, I would seem really cool. But the truth is I very rarely appear like that.
Yeah.
So I guess my point bringing up TikTok, I feel like I started that off very bad, but it's basically like capturing these like, you know, best moments best of these moments. Characters and then that's so you're not getting any like reality, which it's a book, so it doesn't matter.
I feel like
it'd
work as a movie pretty well.
Yeah, I think they should definitely turn this into a movie.
I think it could be adapted quite well, and I think
Netflix.
I'm just thinking about how good of a movie this would be.
I just think, because there isn't a lot of, like, inner monologue that I think is that important in the book. So there's nothing to be lost if they adapt it.
Yeah.
So they should.
I agree.
Make money. Hire some actors.
Yeah,
let's get their money.
Yeah.
You know?
Get Netflix their diversity quota.
Yeah. At least, like, people will benefit from it, you know?
Yeah.
The people in there aren't real, but the people that will play them.
I agree. Okay. So let's talk for 5 minutes.
Okay.
About the ending.
Okay.
Okay.
Bailey, you start us off because you came in here right away.
Okay, wait. Let me remember. Yuki's like something about
she hides.
Oh, I never told you what I was looking for. And then something like was she saying that Grace was a monster? Did I miss it? I must have, like...
Yeah, well, she... No, okay. This must have gone so over she my made, head. Like, a comment where she's, like... She had a flashlight, right? Okay, and she's, like... So, Grace... So, Jimena...
Explain this to me.
Okay, so, Jimena... Not Jimena. Oh, my gosh. Jimena knows that Yuki's out there in, like, the orange grove. So, she sends Grace to go get champagne knowing that she'll run into Yuki, right? We have no idea how Yuki got there. We don't know why she's there, if someone flew her out there, like, what happened. But then she, like, makes a comment. Yuki's like, oh, I was looking for monsters, like, as, like, a cute thing. I think it's supposed to be cute.
Okay.
Romantic. Ode to her radio show.
I guess.
Or creature, yeah. Looking for a lonely creature.
Yeah, they say that, like, 100 times in the book.
Grace
the
is a lonely creature.
Yeah. Also, but that's not a monster. I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways.
There's the monster thing where she leaves. She's like, oh, when Grace runs away, she's like, oh, I knew you didn't. When you said you didn't believe in monsters, I didn't know you. It meant you didn't believe in me either. It's very dramatic.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not to go back to comedy for so long, but this is an example of a joke when Grace is like, sees the light and is like, we're going to white girl in a horror movie this. Yeah. S word. I'm like, why is she saying that out loud? No one would say that outside by themselves. But yeah.
I think that's, yeah.
But how old is the author? I feel like
she's
that's
young.
Some,
it's
probably a millennial.
A book. She's a millennial from Baltimore. That's the information I have on her.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Ending.
Okay, so do you have thoughts on the ending?
Sorry.
You have 3 minutes left.
I don't know. Like,
okay, did you like the ending? Yes or no?
No, not
perfect.
Not really.
Why?
Like, I was just confused.
Okay.
Like,
what
I
were
was
you
just
confused
like,
about?
Is she like, not that I thought she was like making a dig at Grace, but I was like, what do you mean?
You're so stuck on
this
stuck creature.
On the monster thing.
But like,
this
I don't
supposed
know.
To be like a passive.
She
wait,
could have.
I,
it could have ended with her saying it. Anything else to Grace, and then I was just confused, and then I was like, did I miss something important, like some sort of like meaning, that the or was it just like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Wait, sorry.
What?
It is spelled with an X. I totally
Jimena?
Forgot that. Yeah.
Jimena. That's why I was saying Jimena.
But when it sounds.
It's because in like in Spanish and like you know like Oaxaca Jimena. In Mexico.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay. Wait.
Sorry. That's okay. I'm gonna.
Yeah.
No. Keep talking.
Like, isn't it the last line she says something?
What?
Yuki?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay. What?
Sorry.
Okay. The very last line. Let me read the last line.
I just wish.
Oh well, I can't read the whole thing.
It was like romantic or something,
okay.
But then it was just weird. Okay.
I'm gonna read it.
Okay.
Please. Okay, so this is Grace talking. Sounds like BS to me, Grace tells her, but I believe you, she says. Maybe I believe in your monster too.
Like, what?
Okay.
I can explain.
I can explain.
Okay.
Because the whole thing is, you know, when Yuki's like, we're looking for a monster, and Grace is like, you believe in this crap, basically? And she's like, yeah, and Grace is kind of mean about it and judgy, and Yuki gets offended. And then when Grace leaves, Yuki's like, when you said you didn't believe in monsters, I didn't think it meant you didn't believe in me either. Which I think the monster is basically the fantasy. Yuki's like, I'm down for this fantasy. Are you down? And Grace is like, no. And at the end, they're like, we're both down for this fantasy, which is them staying married and being together, even though they barely know each other. Mm-hmm. That's my interpretation of that.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, I don't like the ending either. Too concrete. I definitely agree with you. I think it would have been better left open-ended. Mm-hmm. Maybe just her reaching out to Yuki at the end of, like, why is she there? I don't know.
It was just too perfect.
Also, why is she hanging out in the groves, weirdo? Go to the wedding.
Like,
what are you doing?
Yeah, like...
But yeah, that's
okay.
My ending review.
Amazing. Perfect. Okay, very quickly, would you recommend this book?
Yes. I literally, like, have a person in mind that I'm probably going to recommend it to.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I just, because, I don't know, I want to be like, here's a book, and then here's all the things I thought was wrong with it. But I also don't recommend books to people very often, because it's a commitment. Unless they read a lot. It matters. Depends on the person. If they read a book a week,
okay,
sure.
So maybe, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick to yes, because I still think this book has, like, value.
Yeah.
And... that's what I like. Like, this show is not, well, sometimes it is attacking the book. Ender's Game was not because we liked it. But in this case, I want to talk about this book because when I read it, I never talked about it. So this was like my reasoning of like, oh, now I can like talk about it. Okay, so we have 3 minutes left. So very quickly, I'm going to shout out what we're doing next. So in a week from today, at 7 p.m., we have a special Fun Drive episode. It's going to be live. It's going to be super fun. The theme of it is, what is the most bizarre romance novel you have read? Mm. Yeah, so we're going to be doing just like a nice little light discussion. Well, light, depending how you think about it, of the most bizarre romance novels we've read.
Oh, for your Fun Drive show.
Yeah, for the Fun Drive show. Did I not? Well, obviously I didn't explain it very well to...
No, I thought that was, you were talking about Fun Drive entirely. I was like, oh,
no. I guess everyone could copy me. I am the book show.
True.
I am the book show. I should have an episode every day.
Yeah. You should just...
Every hour.
Yeah, every hour is just me reviewing Harlequin romance novels. amazing. Okay, but then after that... So the Tuesday after that, on February 14th, which is Valentine's Day. I know. This is like, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. The fact that I have an episode of Valentine's Day.
Oh, so do I. For my show.
Yeah.
Same.
Oh my gosh, we all have our shows on Valentine's Day.
Oh, love things.
Oh, mine may be booted for show shout out thingies, whatever. It's fine.
No, you have to do it. And you have to talk about like the best rom-coms. Can I come on your show and talk about The Proposal?
If we do our show, then the sure. Proposal. Anyways, continue okay, your
yes,
thing.
Me. Okay, so, and then on February 14th, we're going to talk about Marrying Mr. Wrong by Claire Kingsley, which is a actual romance.
A romance romance.
Is it a slow burn?
A serious romance.
No, I'm pretty sure they get to business pretty quickly.
But Ooh. Is there like a like break and then a slow burn
back? Is it
back?
Historical?
No.
Okay.
It's not contemporary. It has rich people in it. He's like a millionaire. It's like, okay, it is like it's a very basic like white heterosexual romance novel. Okay. So like don't.
Does it get
I like the
freaky?
White heterosexual ones when it's in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. Okay.
Mr. Bingsley.
Okay. Yeah. I am on a streak. That's all I'm reading right now is historical romance. So.
What?
That's all I'm reading right now is historical romance. I had to like. Stop reading historical romance to read this book. Okay, so that is my shout out. Please tune in next week at 7 p.m. So not 6 as normal. It will be 1 hour from 7 to 8 p.m.
Late night romance.
Yeah, well, evening. After supper. Listen while you eat dinner.
Post white people dinner
Post
time.
Post.
Okay.
It's a thing.
4:30 p.m.
thank you so much, Bailey and Icia, for coming on my show.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
I appreciate your thoughts a lot. And thank you so much to the listeners for listening. I appreciate
thanks,
it
y'all.
A lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye, and have a lovely Tuesday night.